Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host, right here on Raw Deal on Revolution Radio Studio B, this 8th day of April 2024. I anticipate being joined by Joe Olson, who's a brilliant engineer, qualified in civil, structural, mechanical, and electrical engineering. We're going to talk about the eclipse and what may or may not be orchestrated to attend this event, which, of course, is a completely predictable astronomical phenomenon with no causal significance apart from casting a shadow across narrow strips of Earth as the moon passes in between the sun and Earth. I mean, it's a further confirmation of classic Newtonian physics, of course, and the Earth orbiting around the sun, the moon orbit around Earth, so that we get periodic solar eclipses by the moon's intervention and also periodic lunar eclipses by Earth's intervention between the sun and the moon. In any case, Joe will be joining me to discuss it. Meanwhile, the headlines are all about a nuclear World War III. Here are a couple. World War III is now inevitable. Here's why it can't be avoided, from altmarket.us. Here's another. Ukraine breaks the news. U.S. National Security Advisor worried about Russia nuclear first strike upon USA. Here's one that I find completely despicable. I mean, given the war, the way it's been playing out, and the massive defeat of the Ukrainian army, we have Antony Blinken announcing NATO will join, Ukraine will join NATO, signaling imminent World War III with Russia. This is from Station Gossip. The reason this is more serious than perhaps anything else that's happened between Russia and the West is because much of Ukraine is a disputed territory. Russia controls Crimea and Donbass. The whole point of President Putin's special operation in Ukraine was to get back the rest of what he says is Russia's. By allowing Russia, NATO, Ukraine to join NATO, the West is basically declaring all of what is currently known as Ukraine to be outside of Russia's control, which crosses a very clear red line. This is intentionally starting World War III to help Hunter Biden's paymasters level of insane, tweeted one X account about how insane this development really is. If, or rather when, Ukraine joins NATO, there will be a ton of unresolved territorial issues and border conflicts likely to spark a much larger war that drags NATO through Article 5. which, of course, is the mutual assistance. Such a war would be extremely bloody and potentially escalate to a nuclear Armageddon, of course. I mean, this is an act of colossal stupidity. Russia has demonstrated again and again that it is superior militarily to the West. And believe me, the West has been throwing everything it has into this. Meanwhile, RT, Washington's NATO promise to Kiev is prelude to nuclear apocalypse, Musk. Ukraine joining the bloc is like the start of a movie about the end of the world, the billionaire has said. A pledge by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken that Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Looks like a scene from a movie about a nuclear apocalypse, interpreter Elon Musk believes. The top U.S. diplomat created the rock-solid determination of his country and other members to eventually include Ukraine in the military bloc at a NATO summit in Brussels this week. Speaking alongside Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba, he said, the purpose of the event was to help build a bridge to membership. This is literally how the nuclear apocalypse movie starts, Musk responded on X, formerly Twitter. He shared a video from the 1983 American television film The Day After, which depicts a fictional nuclear war between the U.S. and the USSR. The movie was shown to Soviet audiences in 1987 when the two superpowers were negotiating a key nuclear arms control treaty. Moscow has cited NATO expansion in Europe against Russian objections and an intention to include Ukraine in the organization as one of the key causes of ongoing hostilities. The U.S. and its allies have claimed that all nations have a right to seek accession, regardless of what concerns Russia may have. Musk previously spoke about the risk to Ukraine and the world of further escalation. Continued hostilities could result in Kiev losing access to the Black Sea. The billionaire has urged Kiev to offer concession to Moscow in exchange for a peace treaty. He has also backed the argument that U.S. attempts to weaken Russia by arming and funding Ukraine have backfired. No doubt about it. Here we have Musk. Let's listen.
Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership.
Well, that's certainly nice, very appropriate that it should be shown that way. I mean, Musk is trying to warn. I mean, this is about as insane as it gets. Meanwhile, Russian company has reported an attack on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant. Kiev denies it was behind it. Well, how absurd is that? How absurd is that? Here's a report from Reuters, Moscow, April 8th. That would be today. Russia said Ukraine struck the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power station controlled by Russian forces three times on Sunday and demanded the West respond. Though Kiev said it had nothing to do with the attacks. The International Atomic Energy Agency, which has expert on this site, said it was the first time the nuclear plant, Europe's largest, was directly targeted since November 2022 and said the attack had endangered nuclear safety. That's what we're dealing with. Lunatics. People are going all out. We had Lloyd Austin recently declare that the United States will not allow Ukraine to lose. Well, what the hell does that mean? They are losing. They've lost 500,000 troops. They're defeated. They're out of munitions. Their front lines are collapsing. So what the hell does it mean? Meanwhile, Paul Joseph Watson writes, NATO countries will have to send troops to Ukraine or accept catastrophic defeat. Former State Department consultant makes alarming claim. State Department consultant Edward Luttwak says that NATO countries will have to send soldiers to Ukraine or accept catastrophic defeat, and that Britain and France are already making preparation to do so. Well, they may be making preparation to do so, but there's great opposition in France. A British general said they couldn't stay more than 2 months on the field of combat with Russia. I mean, this is just complete lunacy, irrationality. Luttwak is a military strategy expert who has served as a consultant to the Office of the Secretary of State, the National Security Council, the Department of State, and the U.S. Army. In an article for Unheard, Luttwak warns that Ukraine's 800,000 active personnel figure is too low to be successful in a war against Russia, and the country will continue losing soldiers in the process who cannot be replaced without major support. The arithmetic is inescapable. NATO countries will soon have to send soldiers to Ukraine or else accept catastrophic defeat. Apparently, it's already in the process. Well, let me say, this is throwing good money after bad. Estonia has already observed every NATO nation has forces in Ukraine, and they're losing. The NATO nation have been sending weapons and munitions to Ukraine, and it's losing. They're trying everything, but they are losing. They're even making fake claims for victories on the battlefield, which satellite imagery has revealed to be lies. I mean, this is just absurd. Get this. Here's a Frenchman fighting for Donbass, warns Homeland against soldiers sending soldiers to Ukraine. Serge Monet noted that the French army has not fought a high-intensity war against a superior army, and the consequences could be catastrophic for French troops. Moscow, April 5th. French volunteer Serge Monet, who fights in Donbass on Russia's side, has warned his country's authorities against sending soldiers to Ukraine. His video message was released by the International Reporters Agency. I am a volunteer, a Frenchman. I came to Donbass in July 2014. Today I would like to address the French government, especially the propagandists covering the conflict. The French government wants to send troops to Ukraine, particularly to Odessa. This decision may cost the lives of many French soldiers because if they come, these soldiers will be eliminated. The generals that lead the French army know its condition and its capabilities. The French army has not fought a high-intensity war against a superior enemy, he stated. He also said he had joined the Russian armed forces. He noted the consequences could be catastrophic for French troops and also spoke about other volunteers from France fighting on Russia's side. In particular, he noted that some were being instructed as UAV operators. Well, there you got a Frenchman warning his fellow citizens that it would be a colossal mistake. Meanwhile, we have Colonel McGregor with a message for Israel.
In 2021, the commander of Israeli intelligence published a book on designing a special machine that would resolve what he described as a human bottleneck for locating and approving targets in a recent investigation by Plus 972 magazine and Local Call reveals that the Israeli army has developed an artificial intelligence-based program known as Lavender, which does exactly that. According to six Israeli intelligence officers with firsthand experience, the Lavender AI machine determined who to kill and was obeyed with military discipline. During the first weeks of the war, the Lavender System designated about 37,000 Palestinians as targets and directed airstrikes on their homes. Despite knowing that the system makes errors about 10% of the time, there was no requirement to check the machine's data. The Israeli army systematically attacked the targeted individuals at night, in their homes, while their whole family was present. An automated system known as Where's Daddy was used to track the targeted individuals and carry out when they entered their families' residences. The obvious result was that thousands of women and children were wiped out by Israeli airstrikes. According to these Israeli intelligence officers, the IDF put them in homes as a first option. And on several occasions, entire families were when the actual target was not inside. In one instance, four buildings were destroyed along with everyone inside because a single target was in one of them. When it came to targets marked as low level by the AI Lavender system, cheaper bombs were used, which destroyed entire buildings, civilians, and entire families. This was done because the IDF did not want to waste expensive bombs on who they deemed as unimportant people. It was decided that for every low-level Hamas operative that Lavender marked, it was permissible to kill up to 15 or 20 civilians. And if the target was a senior Hamas official, more than 100 civilians was acceptable. Most of these AI targets were never tracked before the war. The Lavender software analyzed information collected on the 2.3 million residents of the Gaza Strip through a system of mass surveillance, assessed the likelihood of each person being a militant, and gave a rating from 1 to 100. If the rating was high enough, then they were along with their entire family. Lavender flagged individuals who had patterns similar to Hamas, including police, civil defense, relatives, and residents who had similar names and nicknames. This sort of tracking system has existed in the U.S. for years.
What I will be providing you and the fine gentleman of the Secret Service is a list of every threat made about the president since February 3rd and a profile of every threat maker.
And these are like existing targets?
Oakland resident Justin Pinsky posted on a message board and take out Bush.
How is this all possible?
Keyword selectors. Attack, take out Bush. So think of it as a Google search, except instead of searching only what people make public, we're also looking at everything they don't. So emails, chats, SMS, whatever.
Yeah, but which people?
The whole kingdom, Snow White.
And while many people claim that Israel controls the U.S., Joe Biden said that Israel serves U.S. interests.
There's no apology to be made. None. It is the best $3 billion investment we make. Whether or not in Israel, the United States of America would have to invent an Israel to protect her interests in the region. The United States would have to go out and invent an Israel.
We're learning new details today about the seven aid workers from World Central Kitchen who were killed by Israel's military in Gaza. All seven victims have now been identified, including an American. The airstrikes destroyed the victims' cars on Monday in what Israel claims was a case of mistaken identity.
This is a direct provocation designed to precipitate a major response from Iran. If Iran cannot be dragged into this war, then it is very unlikely that Mr. Netanyahu will be able to drag us into his war on his side. So, simply put, why would you attack the sovereign territory, which is what a consulate or embassy is, as you know, of Iran? You want Iran to attack you so that you can precipitate a war that will involve the United States against Iran on your side.
If the mullahs do nothing, if they exercise Putin-like restraint, what do you expect Netanyahu to do? Ratchet up the attacks on Iran to do everything he can to goad them?
Yes, I would think so. I mean, there's no alternative for him. He knows that he's got to attack Hezbollah, and that's a foregone conclusion. It's just a question of when. So he's got to drag in Iran into this mess as he sees it. Now, what he's not paying attention to is the coalescing of the rest of the region against him. He's not paying much attention to what's going on up in Turkey, for instance. The Turkish population is enraged at Israel, and the Turkish population just rejected Erdogan at the polls. Now, there were several reasons for that, but one of them was Erdogan's continuous provision of oil and food and other things to the Israelis, despite all of this tough talk. And the Turks really want to go after the Israelis. They want action against them. And the Arabs are looking at the Turks as their leaders, because they are the one Sunni Muslim power with real military capability that could defeat Israel, because they know that the neighbors cannot.
If Iran attacks Israel, if Iran engages in a war for Israel that's not a pinprick tit for tat, but a serious war, wouldn't you expect Russia to come to Iran's side? And wouldn't this effectively, thank you, Prime Minister Netanyahu, commence a regional war, almost World War III?
Well, I think that's true. And, you know, I've been saying that for a long time, and people don't seem to understand or grasp it. You have the failed war that Washington's been waging in Ukraine. Ukraine is destroyed, and we continue to provoke Russia at every opportunity. I think they're talking about stealing $300 billion Russian funds and turning this over to the Ukrainians. The fools on the Hill want to do this. This kind of behavior makes it inevitable that if we become involved in a conflict with Iran, that the Russians will come to the aid of Iran. There's no question about it. They've deployed forces down into the Red Sea. Their submarines are already in the Indian Ocean and the Red Sea, and they have forces in the Mediterranean. So it's a foregone conclusion that if Mr. Netanyahu is successful, and we are dragged into this, we will end up fighting with the Russians directly.
Talk to me about the rage that you mentioned a few minutes ago, Colonel. Is it of such a magnitude that leaders in the area, Turkey, Iran, Jordan, may feel pressured into doing something lest something happen against their will?
Oh, absolutely. This is already true in Egypt and Jordan. And I would argue Saudi Arabia, the Emirates are all under pressure. The elites in the region are under tremendous pressure. And if they don't act, they all stand an excellent chance of going away. General Sisi has tried, as many others, to be on both sides of the fence. On the one hand, he's tried to speak out against what the Israelis are doing, but he's had to renegotiate his enormous national sovereign debt. He's needed our support for that. He wants to keep the United States on side. How much longer that goes on is hard to tell, because the Russians and the Chinese may well step in and offer to help him, which would then grant him some freedom of maneuver vis-a-vis Israel. Then you have the Jordanians, and the Jordanian king is hanging on, I think, by his fingernails. He's a very competent man. He's a brilliant leader. He has negotiated the troubled waters of the region with great alacrity. I don't think he wants in any way, shape, or form to be at war with Israel, but he has over a million enraged Palestinians who want to attack Israel.
We have another report, the latest, which is the kind of threat that Israel has made in the past, which is an Israeli politician suggests Israel will use nukes if America stops supplying weapons. Now, this is the kind of thing we get from Ukraine. When the bridge goes down, suddenly there's a post saying that Ukraine is, you know, we're going to have more of these incidents if we don't keep sending money to Ukraine. Now, here we have a guy, an Israeli politician, a member of the Knesset, Nissim Vetturi, a representative of PM Netanyahu's ruling Likud party, issuing a not-so-veiled threat, suggesting if America doesn't supply Israel with weapons, then Israel will use nukes in the event of a conflict with Iran. If we do not receive American ammunition, we will have to use everything we have. Israel, of course, assassinated high-ranking Iranian brigadier general and 15 others in an airstrike on an Iranian embassy. It was the consulate really adjacent to the embassy on April 1st. Iran has yet to retaliate. We have Iranian figures saying they'll retaliate at a place and time of their own choosing. But the fact is that that consulate, like the embassy itself, is on sovereign Iranian territory. This is true worldwide. The embassies of different nations are on the sovereign territory of those nations. Thus, this was Israel conducting a strike directly on Iran. Now, I'm pleased to say Joe Olson is joined Joe, what do you think about this latest threat? Now, Israel's done this before. They're very manipulative. These are crafty bastards. I am completely in contempt of Israel and its leadership for the slaughter of the Palestinians and other offenses against humanity. What's your take on this latest thinly veiled threat?
Well, it's not so thinly veiled. They've got multiple diesel electric submarines that the Germans provided them as like war reparations, which is absolutely ridiculous. And those are equipped with nuclear weapons. So they have the capability of hitting any of the capitals in Europe or in the United States. And so I'm sure the veiled threat has gone out through their network of fifth column operatives in the United States and in Europe that we're prepared to go ahead and nuke all of you guys. If we're going to go down, we're going to take all of you with us. This is the same thing that every genocidal mass murderer has always done. He kills as many people as he can and then goes, okay, well, then I'll go ahead and kill myself. Absolutely absurd. And the last that I heard, the death toll from the strike on the consulate building adjacent to the embassy in Damascus was 54 people dead so far. So it's not just the four military leaders that we're talking about. Bottom line is we're dealing with the most evil tribe in the history of the planet. They've been the most evil tribe in the history of the planet for thousands of years. And now the veneer is coming off. And because of what's happening in Gaza, everybody can see exactly what homicidal maniacs they are. And about half the Jewish people have decided completely poisoned the entire Jewry worldwide. But what's getting ready to come is going to come. And I'm just scared to death that these people are going to do everything they can. And don't forget, Ukraine was a Jewish setup.
Take a deep breath. We'll be right back after this week with Joe Olson. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Joe, tell us about what's happening today. I mean, this is a special day, right? A special day.
Yeah, well, God's always full of surprises. I went to an event yesterday, and I got my eclipse glasses, so you can't see absolutely anything other than just looking directly at the sun. But today we have overcast, probably 5,000-foot ceiling. Looks like it's thin clouds. And the odd thing is that before, and it's been documented in numerous cases, when eclipses go by, the clouds part, because what keeps the clouds in the air is the heat from the sun warming the cloud up, evaporating off a portion of the cloud surface, which goes up to a higher altitude, condenses, and then recondenses back down. So clouds are basically a vertical circular air pattern that's using to refrigerate the planet using latent heat of condensation and latent heat of vaporization. But we discussed that in the climate thing. So I'm not sure that it's going to break, and I'm actually be able to see totality here in Central Texas. But that was the thought. I came up here principally to see Dr. Pierre Rotable and Dr. Alberto Martinez. And Alberto Martinez teaches a course at University of Texas called History of Physics, and he goes into where physics went wrong. And apparently physics took a real bad turn around 1900 with the usual gang of suspects, Einstein and Bohr and a few others. And they've basically been trying to extrapolate things that would make physics the principal foundation of science, and there's a lot of pushback principally from the physical chemist group, because they say that everything you're doing has no basis in reality. All you're doing is just extrapolating numerical systems, and you're creating numerical systems like negative numbers and imaginary numbers in order to solve equations that have absolutely no meaning in life. And so he goes into great detail about quantum mechanics, string theory, and cosmology. And you and I did a great discussion on cosmology about a month ago. And so that would be interesting listening. I'll put a link to that when we post this on BitChute so that people can go back and find out what's really going on with Big Bang, dark matter, dark energy, because it's all a complete hoax.
Joe, it's great to have you here. Just go ahead and elaborate. I mean, this is a rare occasion to talk about cosmological phenomena as well as, of course, more routine astronomical, whereas I explained early on that this is a completely predictable event. We simply have the moon intervening between Earth and sun, so we have a solar eclipse, just as we have on other occasions the Earth intervening between the sun and the moon, and we have a lunar eclipse. That in primitive times, these events were thought to be fraught with significance, that the gods were displaying their power and the omens, all kinds of bad stuff. Just give us your take. There are a lot of theories, conjectures kicking around out there. Some state governments even are telling their citizens they needed to stock up for today for, you know, a month with food and the like, even though intrinsically there's no causal effects of an eclipse of either kind apart from casting the shadow. So tell us, what's going on out there? Has the country gone bananas?
No, I'm not seeing any real increase in the amount of road traffic. So it's hard for me to judge just from one empirical location what's going on anecdotally statewide. But it doesn't appear to be that it's that big a deal with most of the people. So and the fact that it's overcast probably dimmed a lot of folks' hopes. So if people were planning on traveling several hours this morning, they might have just blown it off. What happens with eclipses is that you have a thing called the ecliptic. Think about the planets in the solar system operating on a plane circling the sun, and the plane is very much like the rings on Saturn. And so all of the planets are on that particular ring, and our moon happens to have similar rotation, but it has a 5-degree variance on a plus or minus on the ecliptic with the Earth and the sun. So as it passes around the Earth every 14 days, it goes into a lunar or a solar eclipse, but it misses those because there's a 5-degree difference between the location of the moon above or below the ecliptic. And what happens is every time you have a solar eclipse, 2 weeks preceding that, you have a lunar eclipse, because those are the time periods when the moon is on the same plane with the Earth and the sun. And that way, when the full moon comes around, Earth gets between the sun and the moon and blocks out the light, giving you a lunar eclipse. And then 2 weeks later, the moon is going to be on the opposite side of the Earth. And that's when the moon blocks the sun. And it can be totality. It can be a coronal, where it's just the moon, because of its variation in distance from the Earth on its rotational cycle, sometimes it will not completely block out the sun. It will just create a black disk in the center of the sun. You'll have the whole entire corona. So bottom line is, yeah, it's been used for controlling tribes forever. People have always stated that when they had the priest class figure out how to predict eclipses, that they would gather the tribes out and say, we're going to make the sun go away unless you sacrifice some virgins, which I could think of better things to do with virgins than that, but that's okay. Bottom line is, I use this for manipulating people for a long time. And so there's a lot of threats that they're going to be spraying anthrax, or that there's going to be EMFs, or that NASA's flying, reconnaissance planes. Who knows what all is planned for this particular event? But given the world that we're living in, why discount any conspiracy theory at this point? Most of the ones that we've discussed have been proven 100% correct.
Well, tell us more, Joe, about whatever issues you think to be most important for the American people to understand today.
Well, certainly the threats of nuclear war that are coming out of both the Ukraine theater with Russia and Zelensky, and also coming out of Netanyahu and his gang of bandits down there occupied Gaza. I don't see any happy scenario for any of this stuff at this particular point. Iran has been incredibly patient. Putin has been incredibly patient. But now they're still talking about sending in NATO troops into Ukraine. And first of all, they're going to send them in as backup reserves so that they can forward base current Ukrainian troops. But that's not going to solve the problem, because there's going to be limited numbers. And then the Russians know exactly where they are. And so there's no way of salvaging Project Ukraine. And it doesn't look like there's going to be any way of salvaging Project Gaza as far as the Israelis are concerned, because they've tarnished their brand for the next 50 years. They've been the ones that have been screaming for the last 50 years, never forget, never forget. Well, now we see what you guys are all about, and now we will never forget, just like you told us to. Never, ever will we forget what you've done to the people of Gaza, and what you are threatening to do to the whole rest of the population of the planet.
Yeah, of course, the Israel, the Zionist Jews that played the Holocaust and the anti-Semitism card again and again and again. And we even had a former Russian Israeli minister of education on with Amy Goodman of all on All Things Considered. where she's explaining that when there's criticism of Israel in Europe, we call them Holocaust deniers, in America, anti-Semites. But, I mean, there's so much wrong with that, Joe, as you well know. I mean, whole Holocaust thing was a fabrication post-World War II to try to create an additional justification for the creation of the nation of Israel as a Jewish state, where the International Committee of the Red Cross had kept copious, very detailed records on all the camps, including the age, the sex, the religion, the ethnicity. A cause of death of everyone who died in any of the camps. And in 1993, they recalibrated with a total number of 296,081, none of whom died from being put to death in a gas chamber. None. And we've had additional confirmation that Kohlerstrom has this brilliant new book called Breaking the Spell, where he took advantage of the British death books because the Brits had broken the German code, and because the Germans were so meticulous in their record keeping, they had access to all the records from all the camps, and it verified the accuracy of the International Committee of the Red Cross data, meaning, and Fred Lochter, of course, during the trial of a Holocaust denier in Canada, visited the camps, where Fred was the leading expert on gas chambers in the world at the time, and came back to report that there were no facilities there that could have possibly served a function as gas chambers. So we've been played again and again. And I think now, given that the Israeli treatment of the Palestinians is so savage, so brutal, so sadistic, and we're seeing it 24/7, the world is never going to regard Israel with anything but contempt and disdain. And alas, because we're supporting the weapons, Joe, we are accomplices to genocide. The United Nations has now the Special Rapporteur for Human Rights, Francisca Albanese, has concluded Israel is committing genocide. The United Nations, by a Security Council vote of 14-0, with the U.S. abstaining, has demanded a cessation of the genocide, exchange of hostages, and then provision of food and water, humanitarian aid, which Israelis are simply ignoring. I mean, this is just as bad and calamitous as it could get. And incidentally, it's fascinating that just as the United States has held Israel responsible for the actions of Hezbollah because Iran has been providing Hezbollah with money and weapons, the United States is responsible for the genocide in Israel because the United States has been providing money and weapons. So, Joe, how do they escape this dilemma? In my opinion, the reputation of Israel is destroyed permanently, to more or less underscore a point you were making yourself, your further thoughts.
Yeah, well, it looks like the only option they got available is to do another false flag. Let's not forget that they did the USS Liberty in order to drag us into the war. This was the Mediterranean version of the Gulf of Tonkin under the same rotten president that did the Vietnam War. That would be LBJ. And then also, they structured the defeat of every Muslim country throughout the entire Middle East. So it was the Jews that set up the 9/11 attack that caused us to invade Afghanistan and Iraq. And then using CIA Operation Zero Footprint, we went in and armed the Muslim Brotherhood to overthrow the governments of Tunisia, Yemen, Egypt, and Libya. And then after we overthrew Libya, they used Operation Timber Sycamore to take the Iranian weapon, the Libyan weapons, and move them through Turkey to do the U.S.-fronted CIA group ISIS to overthrow Assad. And in the process, they killed 500,000 Christians that had lived in Syria peacefully with their Arab and Jewish brothers for 2,000 years. But that didn't matter because they were just collateral damage. So that's what these people have been up to. And their holy book, if you look at Ezekiel, God warns the Jews that if they don't stop misbehaving and treating the people of their flocks so terribly, that he's going to sack their temple. Well, surprise, surprise, in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem and sacked and destroyed their child sacrifice temple. And I know that's a blood liable, geez, get over it, because there's ample proof that that's been going on for centuries with your tribe. Okay, and then the Romans came in, took over. They were there during the time of Jesus, but the Jews kept acting up. So in 69 AD, the Romans sacked the Jewish temple in Israel because Jesus turning over the table for the money changers didn't solve the problem with the money changers. So now we've got another problem with the money changers. And these people seem to think that if they start a nuclear war, that they've got bunkers and systems that they'll be able to survive after the nuclear war. And then they won't have to put up with as many pesky humans trying to rise up and overthrow their worldwide dictatorship, which is what the chosen few is all about. Interestingly enough, this is the exact master race theory that they've been trying to pound into us as being fascists, when the fascists are indistinguishable from the people in Gaza, in Israel. It's crazy.
We have new polls showing that the Israeli population remains enthusiastic about the ongoing slaughter, which I find rather disconcerting. We do have Robert Reich saying that Biden must stand up to Netanyahu, and I find that fascinating because Robert Reich is as left-wing as they come. Listen to this. This is from Reader Supported News, which is a left-wing website. This is a former Clinton Labor Secretary. Friends, I'm deeply troubled that Biden administration continues to approve the transfer of thousands more bombs to Israel. Not only does this further our moral complicity in the bloodshed of Gaza, but it gives away whatever bargaining leverage the Biden administration might have to stop Benjamin Netanyahu from further death and destruction in Gaza. One need not take sides in this war to be horrified by the killing of tens of thousands of innocent civilians. Of course, Hamas deserves condemnation for seeking the obliteration of Israel and for the inhumanity it wrought on October 7th. The Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu deserves condemnation for killing over 30,000 Palestinians living in Gaza, a large percentage of them children. By May, the World Food Program and others suggest that half the population of Gaza may be on the verge of catastrophic starvation. I believe Joe Biden genuinely wants this conflict to end. I believe he truly thinks Israel's operation to go after Hamas has been over the top, as he said, in terms of its being wildly disproportionate to the odious actions Hamas took on October 7th. I believe Biden was truly outraged and heartbroken by the Israeli airstrikes in Gaza earlier this week, killing 7 aid workers for the charity group World Central Kitchen. And I believe he really does want to draw a red line and prevent Netanyahu from mounting a planned invasion of Rafah, where 1.4 million Palestinian refugees have sought shelter. Despite all this, and again, Joe, I say, this is astonishing coming from Robert Reich. Despite all this, the Biden administration have been unwilling to impose a single cost or consequence that would translate into real pressure on Netanyahu. Instead, U.S. has just authorized the transfer of billions of dollars worth of more military equipment to Israel. It just approved a shipment of 2,000-pound bombs and 20 F-35s. Beyond America is moral complicity in the bloodbath in Gaza. There's also politics here in America and in Israel. Americans are no longer willing to provide unconditional support to the Israeli government as it kills and starves ever more Palestinians. Many Democrat voters are unhappy with Biden's inability or unwillingness to confront Netanyahu, the most right-wing prime minister of the most right-wing government Israel has ever had. Netanyahu, for his part, needs to keep this war going for his own political survival. He knows that if the war stops, he is probably going to lose power. We can and we must get tough with Netanyahu. The U.S. government has the authority to suspend an arms package anytime before delivery. Granted, it is politically difficult to confront an Israeli prime minister. I was in the Clinton administration when Netanyahu met with him, Bill Clinton, in June of 1996. I heard Clinton explode after that meeting. Who's the effing superpower here? But there comes a time when America will stand up even to our closest allies when those allies are in the wrong. In 1956, President Dwight Eisenhower threatened sanctions if the Israelis did not withdraw from Sinai. That was just before an American elections. The Israelis did withdraw. Eisenhower was reelected. I think he's giving advice to Joe that if he doesn't cut this out, he's going to lose. And if he does cut it out, he might survive. Your thoughts, Joe? I mean, that's a powerful statement coming from as blue-blooded a Democrat as there is in America today.
Max Blumenthal, I think, is the guy that I'm looking for. Maybe that's not the correct name. But the guy at Greystone does absolutely fabulous. He has several Jewish writers at that particular news outlet, and they're very anti-Zionist because the problem is really Zionism. And getting back to what the nuclear threshold is, their Samson option is that they've got 200 nuclear warheads, and they will nuke every capital in the world if they don't get their way, so that they can start off and rebuild their tribe's power base without having to deal with a whole bunch of pesky world leaders. And everybody will know that the great and powerful wizards of Ismad have spoken. I'm real disappointed in those folks, really, and I don't see how humanity can forgive them. But if you want to know what the extent of nuclear war is, there's a great hour-long interview with Annie Jacobson. Her new book is called Nuclear War, and it's with the Commonwealth Club of California. I will put a link to that down in the comment section because it's really worth watching, and she will tell you exactly how terrible nuclear war is going to be for the whole entire planet. There'll be no escaping this if these morons, and the problem is that they perfected false flags so repeatedly that they're going to be able to use false flags, and nobody will know when the first button got pushed. But you only have a 6-minute window between the launch of ICBMs by one side or the other and the response by the other side. And this is almost automated, and I don't trust FJB to have its finger on any kind of a red button because the guy's an absolute moron. And he's fully compromised, and he's an evil human being. So bottom line is we're on autopilot to Armageddon, and we've got few voices that can stand up and no voices that are in any position of power to be able to affect change on this whole thing. It's absolutely horrid that we're having to sit here and be, front row seats to the destruction of the entire human race because these people are so maniacal. But if they can't win everything, then they will destroy everything.
Well, we do have this report, and there's more than one source. Israeli military reduces troops in southern Gaza, spokesperson says. This is dated yesterday. Israel said Sunday it had withdrawn more soldiers from southern Gaza, leaving just one brigade, as it and Hamas sent teams to Egypt for fresh talks over a potential ceasefire in the 6-month conflict. Israel has been reducing numbers in Gaza since the start of the year to relieve reservists and is under growing pressure from its ally Washington to improve the humanitarian situation, especially after last week's killing of 7 aid workers. The military spokesperson did not give details on reasons for withdrawing soldiers or the numbers involved. Both Israel and Hamas, the Islamist government movement that controls Gaza, confirmed they were sending delegations to Egypt. We even have some right-wing sources here in the U.S. claiming, you know, Biden has abandoned Israel, which is, I mean, it's a fascinating thought. But it looks as though there may very well be some improvement taking place here under pressure. I mean, it's massive political pressure, in my opinion. It's because they see they are losing everywhere, that every branch of government, every branch of the American people are opposed to what's taking place here. So I think it may finally be the case that the United States is exercising some control. I mean, that would be most welcome. I know the whole world would breathe a sigh of relief. Your thoughts?
Well, it could be that they're removing their troops from Rafah so they continue their 500-pound and 2,000-pound bombing of the place. Because they did have a problem with friendly fire recently where they bombed several locations where there were Israeli troops and admitted that they ended up killing some of their own. Not that they have a problem with that, because that's the other little tricky thing about these folks, is called the Hannibal option. Whenever Israelis
are captured... Joe, we'll turn to the Hannibal option when we return from this break. We'll be right back with Joe Olson.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim.
denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So get this, here's one. This is coming from Patriot-powered news network. Biden leaves Israel high and dry. What happened to U.S. support? This source is pretty outraged. In a recent development that has conservative heads spinning faster than a tilt-a-whirl at a county fair, President Joe Biden seems to have left Israel hanging like a pair of old socks. On a phone call with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader of the free world apparently told Netanyahu that an immediate ceasefire is essential in Israel's ongoing battle against the terrorist group Hamas. Now hold on to your cowboy hat, folks, because Biden also apparently said U.S. policy toward Gaza will be based on how quickly Israel acts on these demands. Talk about throwing your best buddy under the bus. Yikes. But, Joe, that's totally appropriate that Biden should do that. I mean, I'm kind of shocked that this source would think that stopping genocide would be a bad thing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, on that same line, Iran sent notice that to the United States that they were going to retaliate for the attack on their consulate in Damascus. And the United States sent a note back said, well, do not hit any U.S. forces. So it's kind of like those other guys, they probably deserve to be slapped around a little bit, and we'll let you do the slapping at this point. So who knows where all these parts are going to fall, but certainly Israel would be far better served with a better government than what they've got. And we've got so many people that are up for war crimes right now, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then when they displaced the people from the seven Middle Eastern countries that the PNAC group said we needed to overthrow in their project for the New American Century in September of 2000, those people ended up going into Europe where they are a captive population, and they have the same sentiment about the people that destroyed their country that the people in Palestine have. So, you know, and the rest of the Arab communities that fixing to have. Paris is going to host the Olympics this summer, and it might be interesting to note to Paris that in Munich there was an event that happened at the 1972 Olympics. And so we've got a number of terrorist thresholds worldwide and a number of false flag potentials, and being able to figure out which is which and who the main characters are that are pulling these things off is going to be a real complicated task because they've gotten really good at covering their footprint.
Well, just a comment on that post. I've seen that too, yes. I think it's a feint. I think it's deceptive. We had, in the case of Iraq, April Gillespie, the U.S. ambassador, told Saddam that if he were to go into Kuwait, which was slant drilling into Iraqi oil fields, that the United States would not object. And then we slaughtered them on the road. I mean, it was an incredible massacre of Saddam's army, which was really quite a formidable force. I view this as a similar enticement, trying to bait Israel, I mean, Iran, into taking a measure that it otherwise would not have taken, Joe, in order for the U.S. to attack it. You know, indeed, one of the threats I see today related to the eclipse would be a false flag related to an Iranian attack. And it turns out our colleague, Carl Herman, has just sent us both the total solar eclipse pathway. It's actually fascinating how many false flags are on the path of the eclipse. Get this: Buffalo Bash shooting, East Palestine train derailment, Kent State massacre, Pence's birthplace, Paducah school shooting, Jonesboro school shooting, Whitewater, Rose Law Firm, Bill Clinton birthplace, JFK assassination, Waco massacre, Uvalde school shooting, Eagle Pass illegal immigration. That's quite a list, Joe. That's quite a list.
Yeah, it'd be kind of hard to draw a line across the United States where you could come up with more of a list of false flags.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by that. Do you want to, you know, expand on it? I mean, what? It certainly suggests to me that prospect of false flag today may be very, very high.
Well, if it is, I won't have a first-hand report until 1:30, but I'll make sure I email it to you as soon as I find out what the false flag is, if one exists. But, yeah, maybe it's coincidence, but then what is it? FDR's famous saying, nothing is a coincidence?
Nothing in politics. Yeah. Nothing in politics
is a coincidence. Okay. Yeah. Or even better one is Ian Fleming's. Once is a coincidence. Twice as a happenstance, three times as a state action. So that's what we're dealing with. When you have three in a row, it's like, well, that's government doing that.
Well, I'm really quite fascinated. And the idea that, you know, domestic politics might be forcing Biden to do the right thing, I think that would just be a stunning victory for the American people, Joe. A stunning victory for the American people. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's all we can hope for at this point, is that we do need some stunning victory. And I don't think it'll be that much of a victory for FJD, because he's already alienated enough people and shown what an inept leader he is. But bottom line is, it will open the door for discussions moving forward with a planet that could hopefully live in peace for once. Although the United States has been at war for all but like 20 years of our whole 250-year existence.
Well, I think it's wonderful, Carl sent that slide, you know, the map and of all those events. Suppose they do stage a false flag. Where do you think it would be most likely, Joe, and what form do you think it would take if you're open to speculation?
Oh, Jesus, man. Just trying to – let me think about that one for a minute, because that's kind of an off-the-wall hypothetical that I really haven't been thinking about. But there's certainly some likely targets. You know, anything to do with the energy industry, anything to do with the banking system, anything to do with the U.S. military. So if they can pull another little stunt at the Pentagon, who knows? But I'll have to think about it. It could be that there's some bridges along the Mississippi River that they need to drop. So, but there's another interesting website called Academy of Ideas, and they put together normally little animated productions, and they're like 15, 20 minutes long. They're really, really good. But a couple of days ago, they put one that the title of it is Democracy Always Leads to Tyranny. And they've got quotes from famous politicians and world leaders going back hundreds of years explaining exactly how this transition goes from democracy, and just like Ben Franklin said, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting for what's for dinner. Or as Edward R. Murrow said, a nation of sheep begets a government of wolves. So we're at that point now where we need to have a complete fleshing of the government. And the most wonderful thing that could come out of a capitulation on the part of Israel would be that the AIPAC loses their power to be able to force representatives into their club. And we need to purge about 535 people that are in the U.S. Congress, because they are all provable traitors, and certainly any that have voted for war funding.
Yes, yes, yes. Here we have an excellent commentary, believing that the reason the establishment is pressing so hard for World War III is partly because of upcoming election, but also because the COVID agenda failed. COVID lockdowns and the vaccine passport system were their big play to create a permanent authoritarian environment with the ability to crush conservative groups that refuse to submit. And no matter how you slice it, they didn't get what they wanted. World War is the natural plan B. It's important to understand that every crisis created by globalists is meant to destroy the freedom-minded. The true target is not Russia or Iran. They are peripheral. These events are designed to create an environment conducive to tyranny. They act as cover for engineered economic collapse. They act as cover for the real war against the people that still defend liberty. You could say that World War III has already started, at least in economic terms. I also doubt the endgame for the globalists is a worldwide nuclear exchange. Why spend decades building a massive control grid only to vaporize it in seconds? I do think the danger of kinetic warfare is skyrocketing, and that U.S. and European citizens will be directly affected. It'll take a sizable resistance movement to change the path we are being forced to follow, and things will get much worse before they get better. That's quite a nice piece by Brandon Smith. I've actually published it on my blog. Anyone who'd like to read the whole of it, check it out at jameshfetzer.org. World War III is now inevitable. Here's why it can't be avoided. Joe, your thoughts?
Yes, well, they have another problem, and that is that there's been an enormous awareness of the amount of election fraud that's been endemic in the United States for dozens of years, and it certainly happened in 2016, and Hillary thought she had everything set up so that she could steal the election from Trump the same way she stole the primary from Bernie Sanders. But that didn't particularly work out for her. So now they came up with the motor voter thing, and that was one of the motives for doing the COVID strike, was that they could force mail-in ballots. Well, a lot of states have restricted mail-in ballots as a result of the obvious tampering in that standpoint, and a lot of states have cut down on the hacking of the voting machines, which are all crooked as they can be. But now the United States government has come up with another thing. They are pushing a voter registration based on using the last four digits of your Social Security number for any illegals that come across the border. And in the state of Texas, since January, they've registered 1.25 million voters in Texas have been registered with just the last four digits of your Social Security number. And when you get that voter registration, no voter ID is required, although that's going to be challenged by Texas in the courts. But bottom line is, they're trying to circumvent and come up with another way they can throw another few million votes into the mill. I'll get some information on that, because I just heard the report on a radio station, and I didn't get the citation, but I will find the citation, because that's a subject to discuss. Apparently, they're doing it nationwide. If you got a 9-digit Social Security number and all you have to do is provide the last four, there's no way of verifying who that human being was or what portion of the planet they lived on. So bottom line is, they're just enabling fraud on a massive scale. The Social Security Administration, under the direct leadership of FJB and his team of crooks.
Yes. 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 Joe, I know. I mean, it's all pretty stunning stuff. Really, truly, really, truly.
And by the way, FJB got 5 medical deferments from Vietnam because he had asthma when he was a kid. So there you go. If you sneeze, you're not fit for frontline combat.
We have the situation, too, where Trump is doing so well. I mean, he's leading in all 6 swing states. That the Democrats are moving to prevent him from implementing his Schedule F that would gut the deep state. NATO is trying to make itself Trump-proof. Get this. April 4th marks the 75th anniversary of the signing of the North Atlantic Treaty by the foreign ministers of the original 12 members of the NATO alliance. Rather serendipitously, it was reported this week NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has proposed setting up a new $100 billion fund to help Ukraine continue its efforts against a Russian invasion just in time for the anniversary. Well, remember, it wasn't an invasion. It was a defensive move. It was properly called a special military operation to come to the aid of the Donbass because Ukraine was about to launch a genocide in the Donbass parallel to what Israel has launched in Gaza. So Putin made it very clear, Joe, why he was forced to enter Ukraine. I mean, since the coup of 2014, which was engineered by Victoria Nuland using $5 billion American taxpayer dollars to depose the Russia-friendly president of Ukraine and install a Western puppet of whom Zelensky is the successor, they had been conducting artillery bombardment of the Donbass because it's populated with ethnic Russians, Russian-friendly Russian speakers, and they had killed over the years in 2014 around 2,000 residents of the Donbass. And Putin learned they were about to launch an all-out assault for a massive slaughter, and that's when he intervened. So I regard what Putin has done as totally appropriate, that it was totally justified and warranted. And the idea of demonizing Putin as a bad guy or an invader are grossly wrong. Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, the CIA overthrew the legitimate government in Ukraine in 2004 in the Orange Revolution, and then they overthrew the government again in 2014. And if you look up wiki:color_revolutions, they will show you a dozen revolutions that quote revolutions that the CIA sponsored in Eastern Europe just since the year 2000. And so they've overthrown virtually every government that was set up in what was former Russian territory during the USSR time. And they've overthrown every one of those governments, whether they were legitimate or not, and replaced them with puppet governments. Another guy that I follow on a frequent basis is Colin Heaton, and he's a former U.S. Army and former U.S. Marine, and he's got a website called Forgotten History. And he just did a recent one a couple of days ago on Alan Dulles and the birth of the CIA. I'll put a link to that as well because it's a pretty good 20-minute summary and has a lot of material that I haven't seen before. And I've read The Very Best Men by Ethan Thomas, published in 1996, and The Devil's Chessboard, published by David Talbot in 2016 on the CIA, and I knew quite a bit about it. But other than that, there's a guy that does web broadcasts named George Webb, and he did a recent report, and he said that they're going to be using NATO troops to take over and nullify the 2024 election, that we signed an agreement with NATO that if there was a problem with elections or transition of government in the United States, that NATO forces would enter the United States and work with the U.S. military to do continuation of government. And continuation of the government just means continuation of the monsters that have seized control of the government and not allowing any legitimate opposition anywhere in the nation. So when you think that they're going to invade us with the blue helmets, it might not be the UN blue helmets, it might be the NATO blue helmets that are brought into our polling places and taken over our police departments nationwide. Absolutely disgusting.
Well, this is pretty damn interesting. Get to this. When conspiracy theories are conspiracy fact, the Conspiracy Files TV series is now streaming on our Gumroad video platform. There's no login. Just click your receipt to start watching. The receipt says view content. Just click and start watching. The new streaming platform is compatible with all smart forms, all browsers, and all smart TVs. We kick off with an investigation into how the deputy director of MI6 wrote a secret diary filled with fantasies of torturing and sexually exploiting children. Well, it was a secret until he left his diary on the back seat of a London bus. Wow, that's a nice creepy one. That's just the start of an electrifying TV series of Conspiracy Files. New episodes include electronic vote rigging, atomic nukes stolen, Jimmy Savile and satanic cults. Our team investigates aspects of conspiracies that the mainstream media failed to cover, which are now banned from the internet. Did you know Hitler commissioned the invention of chemtrails? Did you know that President Gerald Ford was using a fake name the whole time he was in the White House? This is not a TV series of conspiracy theories. This is a TV series of conspiracy facts. The Conspiracy File take you deep into the archives. I wonder, Joe, if they're going to expose grim realities about, for example, the Hola hoax, or 9/11, or JFK. I mean, you know, I actually had a show of my own on PRN, Progressive Radio Network, out of New York. Null, Gary Null, is the owner of the network, called The Conspiracy Guy. And I had it for about 14 or 15 months. It was over a year, once a week in the evening, and it was late night. I suspect I had a huge audience because I was doing all the good stuff that nobody else is doing. In fact, you can see the 65 shows, and notice since they're only 52 weeks, and I was doing it one a week, 65 shows implies 65 weeks, more than a year, on my blog. Go to jameshfetzer.org, and you can find jimtheconspiracyguy.com, the 65 shows. And Joe, there's some doozies there, doozies about the coronavirus, the fake pandemic, the moon landing right off the back. I get into the fake narrative of World War II and more and more and more. Let me pull it up. In fact, it's pretty damn good stuff. So I encourage everyone to check it out. Go to jameshfetzer.org and look for jimtheconspiracyguy.com or the 65 shows. Here, 24 May 2020, coronavirus phenomenon, medical emergency or political pandemic. 31 May 2020, the moon landing hoax, how we know we didn't go. 7 June 2020, the New Zealand shootings. Were they real or a political stunt? 14 June, the Second Amendment and the politics of gun control. 21 June, how to spot a false flag, a sampler of orchestrated events. 28 June, how to spot a false flag, a sampler of orchestrated event part two. And there, Joe, I go through Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Charlottesville, Parkland. I mean, you're going to learn a hell of a lot from those two segments. And a whole lot more. For example, 5 July, Pizzagate, real or fiction, the American franchise of Pedogate. That's going to be a very distressing for a lot of people. And on the 9th of July at Catherine Horton, international expert on targeted individuals and effects to end it. On this 12th of July, the DNCCV conspiracy, how the BLM, Antifa, and the Democratic agenda fit together. Wow. I mean, it goes on and on for 65 shows. So I'm obviously not going to review them all, but I must say, to my acute disappointment, I was reporting on the Parkland event virtually in real time when I got sacked. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'd done one show on Parkland explaining how there were 3,500 students there, that the school had closed early because it was a holiday, Valentine's Day at 1 o'clock. Only a few dozen had left behind. That the whole thing was manipulated, that they had a guy in a hazmat suit or, you know, with a sim gun, which fires simulated ammunition, which is made out of beeswax and laundry detergent, so it doesn't actually penetrate the skin, but it'll raise a welt, to explain how Maddie Wilford and Samantha Fuentes, who were supposed to have been shot with an AR-15, were walking around, you know, within days with only Band-Aids on their wounds, and now we had a fake doctor saying how Maddie had survived abdominal and chest injuries with an AR-15, saying those were serious injuries with a large caliber, when in fact it's small. It's only slightly larger than a .22, but it's high velocity. But young people heal fast. Joe, how absurd can you get? Hey, we'll be right back and we'll take your calls. Stand by.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, while we have a caller already on the line, here's the number, 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727, 816 area code, join the conversation.
Yeah, Jim, I found it interesting. You've got that information on all the false flags and everything that are on the path of the eclipse. And
yeah,
what you're looking at, it's black magic ritual, okay? In the spirit world, there is no such thing as time. So everything that you were seeing there, Clinton being born, all the school shootings, they're in the now. So they're using that for a black magic ritual. The other thing, if you trace the eclipse today with the one in 2017, it creates the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the last letter. In other words, the beginning and the end. So that's what's going on. These rituals work, and people just aren't aware of it. You know, examples are like Laurel Canyon in California in the 60s was one. The Indians gathered here June 6, 1666, and had a huge ritual to offset the coming of Rabbi Shabbat and Zevi. And, you know, I talked about the Hope Diamond. That was one. The sinking of the Spanish galleon Atoka that Mel Fisher discovered, that was one. I mean, they're there, but people don't understand what they're looking at. So that's what they're trying to get. And there's actually today at 1:18 Central Time, mass meditation to offset what they're doing. And if they get enough people, then it'll offset it. And he got that information from Ben Fulford today, and Ben Fulford even explained what they were trying to do. So you get what the purpose of it is.
So, Joe, you want to respond to Brian on this?
Yeah, but I wanted to mention something about the dark energy of Gerald Ford. That guy was a minority leader from Grand Rapids. That was the highest elected office he ever had. He was appointed to the Warren Commission. He whitewashed what was going on with the Warren Commission. Then in 1973, when Spiro Agnew had a ethics problem and was forced to resign as vice president under Tricky Dick, Tricky Dick appointed Gerald Ford. Well, Gerald Ford also molested a lady named Kathy O'Brien. And you need to find some information on the three victims that have come forward from the Operation Monarch by the CIA, where they program and do sexual traumatization, principally of women, but because the men are probably ended up killed for the adrenochrome. But the survivors are Kathy O'Brien, Robert, and Fiona Parrott. absolutely horrifying stories, and Gerald Ford was eyeball deep in doing that to that kind of
place. Brian, you must be doing dishes. Okay, we're getting it all through.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, I won't do it anymore.
Don't do that. Let me just say, by the way, I got to correct a misstatement of mine. I checked, actually, and I'm going to add the link to the 65 shows. I was doing two or three a week, actually, not just one. So the 65 shows are all between 24 May and 15 November of 2020. But it was, I'm going to give you the link so you can get direct access. Brian, you're thinking dark occult aspects to this, but what? How do you reason it through? What's a causal mode of operation here? You think there's a power, you believe, I take it, in the power of prayer, for example?
Well, the prayer, there's seven steps to prayer. People don't know how to pray. What's effective is if you've got staffs like I have, you use crystals, you call in what people call in religion Holy Spirit, but it's quantum mechanical energy, then you could do things with it. I mean, I've done it. I do it all the time. And then you'll get results. You'll see things that'll blow your mind that you shouldn't be seeing in the physical world. But people are not aware of it. No one knows about this stuff anymore. So I could give you examples of things that I've done, but I won't, because you wouldn't believe it's true. You'd say, no, that just can't possibly be. But when you delve into this stuff, then you start getting things in your physical world that you see out of your two eyeballs that you say, well, that just can't be. I know a woman who's been doing what I do for like 40 years, and she can levitate, okay? When she goes to bed at night, she turns off her lights with her brain. She uses telekinesis and turns her light switch off. Well, you know, when you hear things like that, you just go, no, that can't be. But when you delve into this stuff, into the occult, and you do it of the light or the dark, I do it of the light, then you get things like this happening. And that's what the dark know all this. They've created a situation where we no longer have the ability to do those things. We don't even know it exists, and that's what they want. But they've never forgotten. They continue to use it. They use that for 9/11. You know, they fuel their egregore, and then it makes it happen. There's even a Simpsons episode we know about, the one on 9/11. There's one on this eclipse. So they're fueling the egregore, and that makes what they want happen, okay? So that's what they're trying. So I'm going to be there at 1:18 today, joining that mass meditation to offset, and hopefully we can prevent it. And I've been on a lot of their meditations before, and they're effective, but people don't realize it because the things that they're trying to do just don't happen, and people don't get it because they're not tuned in. So if you go to Portal 2012, and then the portal will come up, and you can join at 1:18 Central Time the mass meditation concerning this eclipse and use divine light to try and offset what they're doing.
Now, Brian, well, I respect your right to believe that. I presume you respect my right to be a skeptic, right?
I mean, yeah. I understand.
Okay.
Jim, but that's the way it is. I mean, I'm just telling you what I know and what I've seen with my own two eyeballs. I tend to believe what I believe, and I'll let you believe what you believe, and, you know, love you to death, even though you don't believe what I believe. I'm not going to try and beat it down your throat, you know, beat you over the head with it. So anyway.
Joe, would you like to add thoughts about Brian's observations?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what the likely targets are for a false flag under the path of the eclipse today, because it seems like all of them have been covered.
As a possible false flag, yes. Look, think about who would benefit. I mean, I think the idea would be to demonize Iran. You know, that seems to be very much in the works here. And so my suspicion is, if there were to be a false flag today, it would most likely be some kind of purported terrorist event in a venue with a fair number of participants that would be blamed on Iran, falsely, of course, because it would all be contrived. But it might happen. I mean, it might be an event with real deaths of real people. This would not surprise me on an occasion like this. And if you look down the path, you know, Buffalo and Dallas both seem to me to be candidates. Dallas, maybe. Brian, is anything special going on where you think that might be a good target for a false flag?
Well, I can tell you what the rest of that article said about, you know, what was going on. And what they said is that the dark plan on releasing some aerosol in the areas where the eclipse is, that is, you know, basically okay when it's dark, but as soon as the light comes back, it activates this thing. And in, I think it said 7 days, you get mass illness, you get a whole bunch of people dying, we get a worst case of COVID, and then their plan is to enact that United Nations or that World Economic Forum thing or whatever it is, where you know, we're all subjected to them and we're under their thumb and we all have to get vaccines and, you know, digital passports and all that crap that they're trying to bring in their total New World Order, digital currency and vaccine passports, all that crap. So because people will be so upset with all the deaths, and then people are going to be clamoring for the government to save them. So that's basically what the article on the internet said, that was giving you all the different events that went on in the path of this eclipse.
Joe, you got thoughts about this?
Well, we've also mentioned the fact that they're trying to blow up nuclear power plants and Twin Peak, Comanche Peak in Central Texas is directly in the path of this. So
really, there's a nuclear power plant in the path of the shadow cast during the eclipse. Wow. That's
right. It's in between Waco and Fort Worth, called Comanche Peaks. It's, I think, the second largest nuclear power plant in Texas.
Huh. And what could they do? Just give us an idea what they could do, Joe. This is your bailiwick.
Well, the cooling water comes from the Brazos River, and the Brazos River, this would be upstream of Waco, and it's the water supply for Waco and supply for a lot of Central Texas communities. Is the Brazos River. So bottom line is they could end up poisoning everything between Fort Worth and the Gulf of Mexico by having some kind of disturbance at that nuclear power plant. And those things are really sensitive anyway. I'm not a proponent of light water reactors at all. And I don't think uranium is a very good fuel source. It has just too many downsides to it. So we're not doing the proper thing with nuclear power to make it environmentally friendly or sustainable in any way at all.
Brian, further thoughts, conjectures?
Well, yeah, just I would agree with all that. You know, they set them all up to give us these Chernobyl type events. They're all in areas where it could cause problems. So it doesn't surprise me. I'm just going to do the meditation at 118, and I'm going to you know, hope we get a better outcome. Hopefully our energy, what we do, will work, Jim. And when nothing happens, you can thank me because I took part in it, the meditation.
And I'm to presume that that was an effect of the meditation, right, Brian? I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nothing will happen. And then you'll know I was successful.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, there are plenty of times when nothing happening is overwhelmingly preferable to something happening, when that something is of a certain character, you know. And today there are more bad somethings happening than good somethings happening by far, it seems to me. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, we're probably on the same path with the Three Rivers thing up in Pennsylvania, and also the Tennessee Valley Authority has a lot of nuclear facilities along this pathway. So, you know, that subject just came up, and so we're kind of pulling anecdotal, extemporaneous, and hopefully nothing bad's going to happen today. But I probably won't be able to tell because it's still pretty much solid overcast. Although, I did mention the fact that the eclipse is known to cause clouds to part, because when you reduce the amount of incoming solar radiation, the clouds don't have anything to make the water vapor rise up. And so the bottom line is they end up just disappearing under the path of the eclipse. But that's only certain clouds. Typically, that's cumulus clouds, and that's not what we have today. But I'll be interested to report at 1:35 whatever does happen.
Well, I mean, we know exactly where the path of the shadow is going to be cast. Whether anything is going to happen, obviously, is going to be testable as it transits. And we'll know shortly whether those who have been extremely anxious about this were had any good reason or not. And I personally am given the estimate maybe 30% chance of there being a false flag today, but I do believe it would be intended to benefit Israel by shifting attention from the genocide to Iran as supposedly a bad actor on the world scene, when in fact Iran may be the most peace-loving, great nation the world has ever known, not having launched a war of aggression against any other state since 1775, Joe. I mean, people may not realize 1775 is before the Constitution was ratified in 1787, before George Washington was elected our first president in 1789. So for longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state. Would that could be said of the United States. My God. Your thoughts?
Yes, well, maybe the Ayatollah was correct when he called us the evil empire. Maybe Ronald Reagan was incorrect when he labeled Russia and Iran as evil empires.
So yes.
The bottom line is the tables can be flipped.
Yeah, I do believe they were both, yes, grossly mistaken. I mean, Russia and Iran today in the world scene are good guys, U.S. and Israel bad, and it's very clear cut. Brian, would you agree with that assessment?
I would agree. I want to bring up one other thing. Today's the day that the Israelis are going to sacrifice red heifers on the altar where their temple was or whatever. So they believe in this ritual stuff. So, yeah, and I would point out, too, that the Ayatollah was Jewish. Khomeini is means the area of Iran that's Cohen in our language. So, you know, all these people are Jewish. I just figure we're in just a big all-star wrestling political episode. So, anyway, you know, they play both sides. They always do it. So, anyway.
Joe? Further thoughts for today?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about them sacrificing that red heifer. So, yeah, supposedly after they burn her, they're going to end up sprinkling the ashes around the Temple Mount before they destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is what the whole uprising on October 7th was about, was because they had premonitions that the Jews were going to destroy it and then build the third temple. And who knows, maybe Ezekiel will be right. Maybe God will flash them down after the third temple, the same thing.
Well, if they try to destroy the temple, which is the third most holy site in Islam, that's going to precipitate a massive war between Muslims and Jews, Joe. I mean, this is not trifling. These communities take that site with special seriousness, and I mean, the consequences could be catastrophic. And red heifers or not. In fact, I did a show with Nick Olerstrom, who's this very expert historian of science. And the Temple Mount isn't even the location of the original temple. I mean, it's fascinating what Nick has done. You can find that on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Check out my interviews with Nick Kohlerstrom. Here we have a discussion of conspiracy theories on Blaze Media. A total solar eclipse will draw the eyes of millions today as it courses through Mexico, the U.S., and Canada across America. A whopping 99% of people will be able to see at least a partial solar eclipse. And as the countdown begins, conspiracy theorists around the world are going into full panic mode. Well, we aren't here. One theory now swirling around the internet is the eclipse will cover the entire planet and last for 5 days. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, no, that's not going to happen, said Matt Gray, adding, A, it will not cover the whole Earth. B, it will not last for 5 hours, let alone 5 days. It might not even last 5 minutes. Yeah, I think most of these locations, you get the total eclipse in about 3 minutes. Other conspiracy theorists have pointed out the eclipse will pass through 7 or 8 U.S. cities named Nineveh, a city described as evil in the Bible. Only 2 of them are in the path of totality, Gray explains, noting his theory is likely incorrect as well. While Gray isn't sold on the conspiracy theories, he does have some advice for those who will be viewing the eclipse. Don't look directly at it with your naked eye. It'll burn your retina right out of your head. I think he got that part right. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
And also 7 cities with the name Salem. And Salem is the opposite of Nineveh. It's like divine or whatever. I forget exactly what it means. And then 1 city named after, what is it? It's a book of the Bible. And it's in that book they predict like the coming of the second Christ or whatever. And, I can't think of it. Jonah. Okay, so there's a city named Jonah, and so there's a lot of this biblical stuff involved with this eclipse, obviously.
Yes. Well, we're approaching the end. Let's have a final thought from each of you. Brian, give us your final thought.
Well, I'm not worried. I don't think anything's going to come of it because there's too many people waking up on the planet and too many people are aware. And I think there's going to be a lot of people doing that meditation. I've done them in the past when they've had 144,000 people and gone into these, you know, altered states. So I think everything will be fine.
Okay, very good. Joe, your final thoughts.
Yes, we had a president, Slick Willie, who made a deal with Hughes Satellite and Aerospace and the Chinese government to provide guidance systems because they were supposedly going to be launching satellites for us at a third of the cost of what it would have them use U.S. satellite launches, and so they had a problem with them blowing up and not launching properly. So Clinton was able to negotiate a kickback fee from the Chinese government in order to give the Chinese what's called MIRV, Multiple Independent Targetable Reentry Vehicles. The military said that this gave China a 20-year leap on the technology that we developed to be able to provide these nuclear weapons with multiple targeting options.
Yeah.
And that's what that wonderful president did.
Yes. Which president was that? Are you talking about Gerald Ford again?
Clinton.
Clinton,
who also signed NAFTA, which destroyed the manufacturing and industrial base of the United States. I mean, we're gullible saps, Joe, Brian. We fall for city slickers are going to sell us a bill of goods. Well, I'll just add, as I pointed out to begin with, there's no intrinsic causal effects to be expected from the eclipse other than casting a shadow across a very narrow band of Earth. It will not encompass all of Earth. It will not last 5 days. Those points are all, of course, impeccable. But I would not be surprised. Give it a 30% chance of having a false flag event. And because of the current world political situation, if there is a false flag, I would expect it would be intended to incriminate Iran. The Israelis have so much control over our media and over our government, they can bring these things about. Remember on 9/11, there was a feigned phone call claiming responsibility by the Popular Front of the Liberation of Palestine, and they immediately showed archival footage of Palestinian rejoicing as though it were contemporaneous. I knew immediately it had to be out of the archives, that it had to be some event of the past, whether it were a political or religious event they were celebrating, because the Palestinians were just as slack-jawed and stupefied, stunned by what was happening as the rest of us. It was an Israeli op. Bobby taken out, I think that was largely an Israeli op, blaming it on Sirhan Sirhan, who just happened to be a Palestinian. I think on JFK is a bit different. Israel played a lesser role there. And of course, Lee Oswald was no Palestinian. He was just a patsy. But we got to be aware and awake about how many ways we are played by events that are being reported as though they were authentic when in fact they were fake. And among the recent, that would include Uvalde and Buffalo, both of which are on the eclipse shadow line today. So I'd say thank you guys for being here, and let me, everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left, and survive the eclipse. Take it in. All right. Back on.
Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.